Well, Brother Back's already taught my lesson better than I will, but nevertheless, Psalm 44 tells us some information we need to know in this day. Chuck Colson calls it radical individualism.
Yeah.
The attitude, it's my life, and it's my time, and it's my body that I'll do with as I please.
Look out.
All of those are false.
Right.
We are the sheep of His pasture. We're His sheep, and not only that, we're feeding out of His pasture. It's His world, and He made it, and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Hello.
I remembered as I was sitting over there this morning a couple of old farmers that told me that the most profitable kind of husbandry they were ever involved in was raising sheep. Well, one of them said, he said, yeah, I made more money off sheep than anything. He said, until one night a pack of dogs got in, and said the next morning there were just dead sheep all over the farm.
Well,
of course, he obviously was not the door to his sheepfold. He should have all put them all in the fold and laid in the doorway. I'm going to talk about sheep, you might say, the other side of the of what the Bible says about sheep.
Come on.
I thought about that expression that we have. We say, well, if a person couldn't get to sleep, you know, they should count sheep, and that would help them to go to sleep. Well, the Bible talks about us being counted as sheep.
Yes.
And sometimes when we're restless, that would help us to go to sleep. If our restlessness is caused by the fact of our questioning, why is my life the way that it is? And why aren't I getting better than this? And even the attitude of, I deserve better out of life than what I'm getting. If that was keeping us awake, then it would certainly help us to remember and meditate on these scriptures that we are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
My goodness.
And that we are the sheep to be used. Now, when I say the other side of sheep, let me get this in. Sheep are one of the most useful. I think one of the reasons another old farmer was talking about how sheep, he said that he made more money off them. One of the reasons is that they're so useful. You know, of the necessities of life, some say there's three. And you could say food and clothing are the two necessities, but then when you get down about 20 below zero, you probably need shelter. Some areas in the tropics, you could say, well, just food and clothing is all that you need. But most say it's food, clothing, and shelter, and some add fuel. You know, you can get every one of those from sheep. You can get food, and we think of lamb chops is one way, but they used to milk sheep. And Moses himself, yeah, in many areas of the world, they still milk sheep and drink the milk. And it's actually better for you, and even babies that are allergic to cow's milk, because a cow is a bigger animal, and therefore it comes in bigger globules of milk, bigger particles. Children that are allergic, babies sometimes are allergic to cow's milk, they'll give them goat's milk. Or they could give them sheep's milk. Goats and sheep considered to be cousins in the animal kingdom. But Moses himself, being a shepherd, he spoke of, in the Bible, of milk of sheep and butter of kine. So you can get milk, and you can get meat, and you can get wool for clothing.
Sure.
And you could even use the skins to build you a shelter.
Right.
Make a tent out of it. So you can get all of the necessities of life from a sheep. And that's what these farmers were saying. He's saying, one of them said, well, when I needed a little money, seemed like it was either time to shear the sheep or it was time to take them to the young ones to the slaughter. And he said it was a good constant source of income. And we, in Psalms here, this is found in both Testaments, by the way, and I believe that when you find a principle or a truth in both the Old and New Testament, you should really grab hold of it.
You got it.
Because it's really important.
It is.
When God repeats himself.
Yes.
In Psalm chapter 44, we'll start at verse 11. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Now the one side of us being sheep and God being our shepherd, most everybody's familiar with that. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the idea that God cares for us as a shepherd cares for his sheep. And most everybody is familiar with that, and they love that Psalm. 23rd Psalm is may well be the favorite of more Christians than any other chapter in the Bible. But don't forget this about that shepherd and his sheep. That shepherd cares for them and protects them and takes care of them, but he also uses them, and he takes some of them to the slaughterhouse, and he lives off of that meat. And as I said, he shears them and he milks them. And so when we have that understanding, it actually helps us. Yes, God cares for me, but I am also his to use as he sees fit. If he sees fit for me to suffer for his glory and for his name, I'm just his sheep. If he sees fit, and he has down through the ages, for many Christians to be slaughtered, to be martyrs, and he uses that for his glory, we're his sheep, and we are counted. Well, we'll go on and read here. Verse 13, thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth, by reason of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death. And I can't read that verse without thinking about something that Brother Huff said. You probably remember a rich young man was taking him around and showing him all his wealth, the mansion that he had, the new expensive cars that he had, and showing him all the wealth that he had accumulated in this world. And Brother Huff said he got through with that, and Brother Huff asked him, he said, yeah, but what are you going to do when God breaks you? What are you going to do then? And of course that young man was full of self-assurance and self-confidence, and he thought, no, that'll never happen to me. But here, the scripture says, thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. God does break us, even as a shepherd will take a sheep that tends to stray, and he'll break its leg. And then he'll carry it around and care for it and nurse it back to health. And when he gets through, that sheep is so bonded to that shepherd that he will not go astray. I remember, in fact, the man that the evangelist that preached the revival I got saved in, he used to say that his prayer to God was, God, if you ever see that I'm going to backslide, I'm going to stray away from you, just take me on to heaven before that happens.
Amen.
And I thought of that years and years later when I heard that he had been killed in a car wreck. I thought, well, maybe that was just God answering his prayer. When you pray that way, you're doing some serious and heavy praying. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. He said, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Isn't that just the opposite? Back to what Brother Back was saying, and I mentioned earlier. This is called the age of narcissism. And even men in the world don't know anything about the Bible or prophecy. They don't know that verse that says, this know also, in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud. They don't know anything about that. But they've just looked at it through carnal eyes and they've said, hey, something has changed about man in this 20th century. It's every man for himself. There's no sense of community. There's no sense of commitment to anything other than the self. One of my older brothers was mentioning when he was home, and I saw it just a few weeks after that. He said, people have no sense of commitment. He said, they'll say, they'll join whatever it is, an organization, a church, or even a ball team. And they'll say, I'm joining this. And he said, and then the next week, they don't show up.
Right.
They quit.
Right.
No sense of commitment. Hey, I told these people I'd do this. And we were talking about that, and I said, well, yeah, there's been times when I've joined something and regretted it later. But I had enough of a sense of responsibility. I said, hey, I said I was going to do this. I'm going to do it anyway, and maybe next time I won't join up with it. The sense of commitment, the sense of a righteous man, it says he swears to his own hurt and changeth not. Maybe you make a commitment and you say you're going on vacation. Here's an example. You're going on vacation with somebody. You say, well, I'll buy all the gas. Well, maybe it's a few months down the road and there's an oil embargo and the price of gas doubles or triples. Now all at once, what was going to cost you $100 is going to cost you $300. And so most people will start wiggling and squirming and saying, well, I know I promised that, but when I promised that, no.
Look out.
When you promise you'll do something, even if it costs you 10 times, whatever it costs you,
right,
do it. That's right. What it means when it said, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not.
Right.
You know, Jephthah made a very foolish vow when he said, God, if you give me victory, first thing it comes out the door, I'll offer it to you. But you know, when he came back, his daughter, his only daughter, came out the door. And I'm sure that he rent his clothes.
Sure.
And he mourned. And he hated the fact that he had done it. Mm-hmm. But he had made the vow, and he kept his vow.
Right.
He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not.
Come on.
There are many scriptures that deal with this aspect of sheep, that we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. First mention we ever have of sheep and of a shepherd was Abel. Genesis 4:2, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And besides all these things that I mentioned about meeting all of our physical needs, sheep were used in that day to cover the sin. The blood of sheep was used as a sacrifice and a covering for sin. Now, the scripture says they could not take away sin, and they could not purge the conscience from dead works to serve a living God. But that blood was a temporary covering for sin, and it sanctified to the purifying of the flesh so that they could offer sacrifice. And it was a type and shadow of Christ. So they used that. It was all they had at that time. It was the best they could do. And Abel, you know, was a keeper of sheep, and he sacrificed those sheep, and his offering was accepted, and he was therefore blessed in the sight of God. But Cain was a tiller of the ground, and you know that Cain offered those fruits of the ground. And as I've said before, they offered under the law, they offered fruits of the ground, but first, they had to deal with the sin problem. And first they had to have that blood sacrifice to cover their sins, and then God would accept the work of their hands and the fruit of the ground. So that's the first mention we have, and it's about a sheep being sacrificed. Now, if we can get this in our mind, it's a paradoxical thing. It has the opposite effect of what we might think. You might think, oh, this is such a depressing subject to talk about or to think about. You mean I'm just a sheep for the slaughter? But actually, it relieves our anxieties and our depression. Exactly. It casts the care on the Lord. Lord, here I am. Use me as you see fit.
Right.
And it helps us because we're going to have things in life. Otherwise, we're going to end up saying, Lord, when we have trials and difficulties, we're going to end up thinking, Lord, have I sinned against you? What's wrong with me? And what aren't I doing right? Rather than saying, well, I'm just a sheep for the slaughter. Lord, if you want to use me, if you want to the word is exploit, but really it's not exploitation because God has his rights to us. We belong to him. He made us. Our life belongs to him. Our time belongs to him. Our body belongs to him. This whole, you know, and if you get that wrong, once you say this body is mine, you know that's what has led to abortion, is women saying, it's my body and I'll do with it as I please. It's I have reproductive rights over my own body, and a woman has the right to control her own body. Well, that's wrong on two counts. Her body's not her own, and then that other body that's growing inside of her, it's not hers either.
Right.
If you don't get this right, boy, when you start with the wrong presupposition, then everything after it just goes downhill from there. We are not our own. No. We've been bought with a price. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 15 says, the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he had treated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. Well, they used sheep to buy things. They would purchase things with sheep if they didn't have any money or anything else. And here, the implication is that Pharaoh was going to purchase Sarah, not knowing that she was already married to Abraham. that he's going to purchase her with sheep and all these other animals.
Well.
And so they used their sheep as money. And God can use us according to his will and according to his purpose. Abimelech, for Genesis 20, Abimelech took sheep and oxen, men servants, women servants, and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. So Abimelech had tried the same thing, and here he's trying to make restitution and make things right. And so he offers sheep to Abraham.
Right.
But as I said, that farmer, he uses those sheep according to his will and his purposes. And those sheep don't understand what's going on. And theirs is not to question why. And we don't always understand the purposes of God.
Right.
In our own life or in the suffering of other Christians. We don't always understand the purposes of God. But we can rest in the assurance that we're his sheep.
Right.
And we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. And not only us, but get this, even Christ, his own son, was led as a lamb to the slaughter.
Yes. Oh, God.
And look at the purpose
right.
that God had in that. In his own son being led as a lamb to the slaughter for the salvation of the world.
Right.
As I say, if that was the lot of Christ in this world, and because this world is not the whole picture. In fact, this world isn't even most of the picture. It's just a small fraction of the big picture. Now God has highly exalted Christ. When he was in this world, his destiny, and he recognized that throughout his ministry, his destiny was to be led as a lamb to the slaughter. But now, that was his destiny in this world, but that was not his ultimate destiny. His ultimate destiny is to sit on the throne and to be given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
It's interesting that so many of God's great leaders were shepherds. Moses, as I mentioned. Here, the interesting thing about Moses, he was raised up and given all the education of Egypt, which at that time was the most advanced civilization, I suppose, in the world. And he's given all this knowledge and information. He was learned in all the knowledge of the Egyptians. But here he is at 40. He's not ready to lead the people of God. Not till he spends 40 years on the backside of the desert doing what? Taking care of sheep.
Oh, yes.
And then, after he gets through with those 40 years, he's ready. He's prepared. He has the heart and the mind to be a leader of the people of God. And then, of course, we all know David was a shepherd boy.
Yes.
And God called him. These men had insight into the ways of God because they understood a shepherd's relationship to his sheep. Then Jacob went on his journey, Genesis 29, came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. So here we have the story of Jacob coming, looking for a wife, and he ends up being a servant And that's how that he found the wife that God had for him. It's interesting that Rebekah, you know why she was chosen? She had a servant's heart.
Absolutely.
And that servant of Abraham recognized the greatness in anybody who has a servant's heart. Now, Jesus, as far as we know, he's the first one who taught that principle, who said, he that is great, let him be the servant of all. The greatest of all is the one who serves the most.
Come on.
And Jesus taught that clearly, more clearly, but it seems that Abraham's servant had insight into that. And he said, now, Lord, the one that it's to be, let her come out and take the part of a servant, which is meet the needs that I have. What did he need most? He needed watering for himself and all his animals. They'd come across the desert. And so Rebekah comes out and she washes his feet, if you will, in a figurative sense. She serves whatever the need. And that's really the meaning of that washing one another's feet. Find out what a person's greatest need is, whether it's spiritual or physical or whatever it is, and meet that need, and you're washing their feet.
Hallelujah.
Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, he said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The nature of sheep, they're a very useful animal agriculturally. But they're also known as being a very dumb animal. An animal that's very vulnerable.
Yes.
As I mentioned earlier, a farmer said, I made more money on sheep than anything. The one night a pack of dogs got turned loose. And you know, those sheep, if they would all got together and fought, they could have ran that pack of dogs out of there. But that's not their nature. They don't have the sense. They don't have the courage. They don't have what it takes to do that. And so many farmers now will put either a goat or a llama or a donkey in with their sheep. And they know if a coyote, now there are coyotes coming around here, and some places there's wolves, but there's coyotes, there's dogs. They know if a dog or a coyote or something like that comes in, that those sheep are so vulnerable and so helpless that their hopes are that llama or donkey or whatever, that goat, will run the dog or dogs out of there and will fight against them.
Right.
Cattle are not that helpless. Sheep are the most helpless. Hogs are not that way. Hogs will eat you alive if you you get it. They're not afraid of people. But sheep are the most vulnerable of all the farm animals. And that's what Jesus was saying. We need a shepherd. We don't need the attitude. Let me tell you, the attitude that I know what I ought to do, it's my life, and so on, that leads you to destruction and misery in this world. Since this age of narcissism, radical individualism, there's actually more misery and suffering and unhappy people today than ever before in human history. Discontent. There's more discontent. That's why there's so much suicide and divorce and depression and mental illness. People are so discontent and unhappy. They don't realize, I'm just a sheep and I need a shepherd. And he'll lead me to satisfaction and happiness in this world and in the world to come. Otherwise, it's just depression and misery and sorrow and suffering, and in the end, hell and suffering forever. If we get the attitude, I'm my own, I know what I'm doing, I'm not a sheep, and we become goatish, that's what happens to the goats. Amen.
Amen. Sing, Bessie. This is a home mission offering, Brother Corn. Amen. Praise God. Sing some more of that good song.